Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and I have two very special guests with us today. I've got Liz Fleming and Ethan Paulini are here to talk about the musical Baby, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary. It originally opened on Broadway in 1983, and that's because there is a brand new cast recording from the production that Liz and Ethan were involved with Out of the Box Theatricals. So welcome, Liz and Ethan.
Hi, Donald. Thanks for having me.
Nice to be here.
So let's start about talking about the production itself before we get to the cast recording. And Liz, I want to start with you. And please tell the listeners about Out of the Box Theatricals and who they are.
Sure. Yeah. Out of the Box Theatrics is an off-Broadway non-for-profit committed to lifting the voices of marginalized communities through the stories we tell. And we do so in site-specific locations in order to challenge our audience's expectations of what theater can be. Started the company with Ethan about 7 years ago. It's more like eight, but it was actually started 7 years ago in terms of having its first production. And I myself am an actor. I am a low vision actor. My father is fully blind, and I'm technically considered legally blind, but am high functioning. So I felt a need for accessibility in the industry and more visibility in terms of that. And it was very, very important to me that I start an organization that created that space for artists to feel that they had what they needed in terms of inclusivity in the room and in the work. So, yeah.
And what drew you to Baby? I mean, it's a show that doesn't get, I mean, I've seen local regional productions of the show, but it doesn't get revived very often.
No.
I think people look back on it and go, oh, you know, it's 40 years old. It's pretty dated. It's a, it's a creature of the early 1980s. Yeah. So what drew you to Baby?
Well, I've always loved it. I mean, of course, the score is iconic for people who know it. But I thought about how there were these three generations of couples, and they were going through this universal experience of having a baby or trying to have a baby. And growing up with a parent who was disabled, and I myself being disabled and being married and thinking about having children and all those things. You know, thinking about all that, I felt like my story was not really represented in many shows that I'd seen. And this this show lends itself to give that space for that. So I thought about how we could really think about how we could uplift marginalized families, because they're so often underrepresented in our industry. And this felt like the perfect platform for that. Now, there were many challenges to getting there.
Right.
For sure. In terms of actually being able to make those changes. But in 2018, when we got the rights, you know, I thought this would be a perfect time to really look at this story and how we could perhaps think about including, you know, artists that are often underrepresented and families that are underrepresented. Mm-hmm.
And as most of the listeners know, when you license a show, oftentimes there's limitations and there's real restrictions with the property from the original authors that you can't make a lot of changes to the script. You can't change characters. You can't necessarily change genders. There's a lot of things you can't interpolate new songs. So talk about what happened, because Baby, I think, is very ripe for an update. And that's what happened. So who did you reach out to and how did that get started?
Well, we got the rights through MTI and we knew that these changes needed to happen, especially after reading it. You know, I think Lizzie calls the operator. There are all kinds of changes that needed to happen. But Ethan really had the idea to change the middle couple. And we knew that unless we reached out to the authors, we really couldn't make a whole lot of changes in our first production, which we did kind of a proof of concept production in 2019. And so I'll open it up to Ethan to talk about that, because he really was the one that came up with that idea specifically.
Yeah, it was funny because as soon as Liz said, will you direct and choreograph Baby? It was like, of course, I love that score. I love that show. What an opportunity to get to do it. But then I sort of had to like find my way in, like, you know, what was my point of view with this story? Because it wasn't an experience that I was going through at that time. Looking at the script sort of as it was and as it had always been presented, you know, I've really felt like, and something that I discovered through the collaboration with Richard that came later, is that it's a show that lives in the moment. There's nothing, just because we know it as this 1980s piece that really reflected that time, there's nothing about it that says it has to be set specifically. And Richard always says, you know, having a baby is not an extraordinary event. It's something people do every day all over the world. So we have to take this simple event and make it live in the now. So in that initial production, it really was like, I did as minimal sort of rewrites and reimagining of scenes and trying to make it very conceptual. And we sent them over to MTI, and those were sent over to Sybil and Richard and David, and they approved it and then came to see it the night before we started previews. And that was when sort of real collaboration was born, because Richard said, okay, this is a good idea, but it needs to go a lot farther than where you're able to go right now. And we were like, yes, we know that. But that's the
Well, and I have to point out to listeners, this does not happen like this very often. I mean, it's not, as you said, it's not unusual to send some, you know, specific minor changes back to the licensing company, in this case, Music Theater International, and have them get the author's approval. But it's unusual for the authors to then turn around and come see the show and then want to be involved as directly as Richard Maltby wanted to be involved in updating the show. So talk about that. Talk about the collaboration, because that's a real rarity to get to work with someone like Richard Maltby.
It is. Yeah. Completely.
Well, I think that, you know, what's really great about that moment in the life of the process was the enthusiasm that Richard brought to it. Once the decision came about to kind of re-examine all the couples, right? Because it was easy enough. He came to see it. He was like, yes, it works for the two. It works in idea for the two middle couple to be two women. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't been fully fleshed out. So we need to figure that out. And in figuring that out, we have to re-examine the entire world. And what was exciting to me, and then I'll sort of toss it back to Liz, was that he was so willing to collaborate with not only myself, but with the actors, in sort of letting them bring their own identities into these characters, which is really how these characters completely transformed from what we know them to be. Not to say they're super ordinary in the original. They don't have these sort of very specific identities and specific challenges that come with those identities that I think make the story that much more remarkable.
Right. I agree, because if you go back and look at the original Baby, the tricky part with Baby is that you basically have six leads, and that's really tough to get enough character development in a show to cover all six characters and the relationships between them. So it's tricky. So I think he was smart, and you guys were smart to include the actors in the process, because the actors can bring so much to bring themselves into the characters and become the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And Richard, you know, this, it is so rare that an original writer would be willing to even do this.
Right.
But, you know, obviously with the pandemic happening, we were supposed to do it in 2020, but I think it was really a blessing in disguise that we held off because Richard, we were able to revisit it a couple, you know, a year and a half later, really, and talk about each person that was involved in the show. And Richard wanted to write everybody's experience. And I will tell you, I play Lizzie in the show. I play Lizzie Fields, and I oftentimes don't talk about my disability very often, because most of the time in our industry, people don't really, sometimes they don't want to hire you, or they're not sure how to handle it. But I explained to Richard why, you know, this show was important to me and what I wanted to see in this story. And he said, well, we have to write that. And the other actor playing opposite me, Johnny Link, is low hearing. So we incorporated ASL and all kinds of stuff. But he sat with us for like hours and just interviewed us and all of our experiences. And then he wrote it. I mean, he took each scene by scene. And then we would go through it and we would talk about it. And I'd say, well, this is not exactly how, you know, the experience would go. But it was really about examining these relationships And not like, you know, saying, oh, you have a disability, we have to show that, but just being who we were. And that's, I think, why it resonated with people and why it became so authentic for so many of us to work with him. He was just amazing with us in terms of really like delving in. I mean, you know, he, the whole show, it's like 90%, but 90% of the script is different because mm-hmm. he really just like was willing to go there. And, yeah, I mean, it's not lost on any of us. That is like truly
right.
Amazing.
Right. Well, you're also working. I mean, you are also fortunately reviving a property where the original creators are still alive.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's a little bit of a rarity, but it's great because it does give you access to them. And it's amazing that Maltby was willing to jump in and get involved. And I think, if anything, one of the things we'll talk about a little bit later when we get to the cast recording is the first thing that struck me when I listened to the cast recording was it reminded me how wonderful the score to the show really is. It's mm-hmm. just, it, as you said, it's kind of iconic, but I haven't listened to the original Broadway cast recording in many years. And listening to this recording, it just brings back everything because it's just such a great score. And it's wonderful opportunities for, you know, actor singers to really dig into these roles and push these songs along. And I commend you guys on it.
About the boy that they got, and though we laughed, I always kinda believed it. As I grew up, it felt like some kind of plot. I tried to shut them up but never achieved it. But to confirm that being mom was my lot, I needed something real and now I conceived it. So I've gotta say this to all you mindless jokers: you're gonna die when I appear, a mother grinning ear to ear, my belly sticking out to here, 'cause I'm bringing my baby back home.
Baby, baby, baby,
we'll bring our baby back home.
If it wants to hurry,
we'll bring our baby back home.
If it's up to me, you can stay for 2 years there.
For your body,
grandmas who go dotty,
nurses who will place you on your solid silver potty.
Baby, baby, baby.
Baby, 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 baby. Gonna love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
talk a little bit, we'll jump around a little bit, but I want to talk about the site-specific part so that for the listeners who don't quite understand what site-specific is, and in this case, talk about what site-specific meant for baby. Ethan, do you want to try that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because you were directing this. And I've seen pictures from the production and I'm like, oh, yay. The directors, yeah. as I said to Liz before we started recording, you guys took on multiple monumental tasks here. You're reviving and revising a great show from the 80s. Then you're doing it in a site-specific setting, and then you're doing a cast recording. So you obviously like challenges.
Yeah, I mean, site-specific has become such an important hallmark of what we do with Out of the Box that it almost feels like that sometimes is the first conversation we have when it comes to a piece. But with Baby, it was like, you know, Liz and I looked at a bunch of spaces. We found what essentially was a loft apartment for the 2019 production. And we thought, where do we meet these characters most of the time? Most of the time it's in their home, it's in their bedroom, it's in their kitchen, it's in the living room. And so we really kind of transformed that space. And, you know, yes, the biggest challenge is that it's not a traditional sort of experience for the audience. There's no, every time someone would walk into the space, people would look around and say, where's the best place to sit? And the whole point of site-specific and immersive theater is that you can sit anywhere and have the experience. Hopefully, if we've done our jobs as producers and creative team, then they can sit anywhere and have a very rich and full experience just from a different point of view. And I think that we really achieved that the first time through all the challenges. And then with the second space, which was Theater Lab, which is a performance space, but also a non-traditional performance space that we then sort of replicated the idea of it being an apartment. You know, there was our one set piece was a gray couch, sort of a neutral nucleus to the space that just got moved around throughout. And I think that in that particular space, we achieved it even more successfully because it did have a little bit more of a focal point. It did have a little bit more of a point of view for the audience to all direct their attention throughout the space.
And talk about casting, because these are, as I said before, it's really difficult when you have six people carrying the show. And as you said, with Out of the Box, you want to make sure you're representing characters and people who don't get represented enough. So talk about the casting process.
You want to take that one? Or
either one of you can jump in.
I think, you know, Liz and I kind of, that part is hard, but also really rewarding because we do get to make space for artists to, you say to them, hey, you want to be a part of whatever project it is, Baby or something else we're working on. And they say, me? I don't usually fit into that story. And then you tell them why you're doing it and how you're doing it. And I think for Baby, there was no difference from any other project in terms of the surprise that certain people were like, oh, that's not a show I would have normally put myself sort of on the line for. And now hearing the way you're doing it, I'm really interested in being a part of it.
As I leave my single life behind, thoughts are kind of spinning in my mind. First, I think about you, then I think about me loving you, then I think about you and me deciding we could be one. It's crazy, I know. Oh, I wrestled with my pillow all last night, and I look at you, and I know I choose right. Life's a very long road, and the crossroads come up right away. And it's sure hard to know which way to go when you've barely begun. can shine so bright. Then I look at you and I know I chose right. Now maybe we don't mean that much, you and I, and maybe our balloon will never fly. And maybe no one cares if we let things go by. And maybe it doesn't matter if we live or die. But if I'm making promises to you today, I wanna know I'll keep them all the way. And if I've not been good at meaning what I say, it's time now to try. So I think about you, and I think about me loving you, and I think of my friends who say they're in love when they're just having fun. But I say no, 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 no. If I am gonna love, it's with all my might, and I will be true. I will follow this through. Then I look at you. And I know I chose right.
So talk about the decision then, because the show has been was put together. You guys were nominated for Outstanding Off-Broadway Musical Revival. Congrats on that. Obviously very well earned, because you put a lot of work into this. But then you make a decision that, oh, we're going to do a cast recording. So that's well, as everybody knows, doing a cast recording is a lot more work. And it's a totally different thing than putting up a show.
It's a totally different thing. And I had we had never done it before. So, but we were actually approached about it in the 2019 for the 2019 production. And then obviously with the pandemic and everything else, there was just no way. And then for this production, we were approached again and we thought about it. We were like, how do we even do this with all of the challenges of COVID and you know, this being a show we were just like rewriting every single day. And honestly, the show closed and I thought that's not going to happen. We don't have the support for it. I think that, you know, we did a great production. The Drama Desk nomination was enough. You know, I think I was sort of ready to let it go, the whole idea of this cast recording, but then we unexpectedly received support later. And we thought, we've got to do this. Now is the time. So it really was sort of like a gift that came to us all of a sudden after it closed. And it was an opening for us to preserve all this hard work and collaboration with Richard and to have him there. I mean, it felt like it just needed to happen. So, but it came later and it has been like 4 years coming and we just couldn't get the support for it until much, much later in the process. So,
And like there are even lyrics that, I mean, Richard was rewriting. We went through our preview period. Of course, there were changes that were made, but he kept rewriting throughout the run. And then like, even after we closed, as we were preparing for the cast album, he would be like, here are the new lyrics I want recorded. So there are things you'll hear on the cast recording that are even different from, you know, how the show closed. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think that's what's great about it is that it's a piece that this production is continuing to evolve in its own ways, but the piece itself, you know, it's a show that lives in the moment. So it's going to keep reflecting the time and being presented.
And it's definitely not the same as listening to the Broadway cast recording. Obviously, when they did the Broadway cast recording, they were working in the world of LPs, which give mm-hmm. them gives you very limited time space on two sides of an album. And now you have much more time you can put on an album. So it's a much more complete recording and contains mm-hmm. revisions. So it's definitely a different, it's sort of a different, it's the same show, but a little bit different, which is kind of one of the joys of actually listening to it. If you're familiar with the Broadway cast recording, is to hear this new one. And not only are you hearing different lyrics and some different changes in the show and pieces of things that were not recorded before, but you're also hearing new performers, which is exciting because that's, you know, because the original has become so iconic for a lot of people. It's sort of like that one musical that everybody just kind of has on their shelf that they love to listen to from time to time. That's a bit of a challenge because you're going up against an iconic cast recording that everyone loves and you're generating a new one. So talk a little bit about that. Were you guys thinking about that? Or I think the focus probably was we need to memorialize this production and this is mm-hmm. the best way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you go into that, like if you think that going into it, you're like sure to fail. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, I mean, the reality is that all of those performers, I mean, Liz Calway, I mean, all they're amazing. So mm-hmm. I think this is just different. It's like they're mm-hmm. just a totally different version of the show. And I think that they're both important, you know, so we wanted to preserve it because of the collaboration with Richard, because, you know, there are like younger mm-hmm. audiences that have not heard this recording and maybe they don't want to listen to it because they don't see themselves in it. So right. I think this is a really great opportunity for them to like listen to ours and then maybe go back and listen to the original version mm-hmm. where they mm-hmm. can hear all those other iconic performances. I think it's just another moment in this show's history. So,
well, and I think, as I said a little while ago, I think the other thing the recording shows you is it wasn't just a fluke that the show became so iconic. Mm-hmm. Your recording proves that it's a really wonderful score and it's telling mm-hmm. a really wonderful story. So it's a show that I think you guys have shown, and with the help of Maltby, have shown that the show is still revivable. It's, you know, it's not an outdated show in any way, shape or form. You know, mm-hmm. as Ethan, as you said, that Richard himself had said, people are having babies every day. So right. the whole concept of couples wanting to have babies is always a pertinent subject.
Yeah. And I think the really interesting part of that, and that's sort of how I found my way in, and I think how audiences found their way in and why it resonated so much, was that the only thing that's changed is who's having babies. Mm-hmm. You know, back in 1983, that's why it was three straight couples, three white couples. And that was sort of who had access to the resources and the things that they needed to start that family. And so I think there's something really wonderful about exploring that 40 years later and seeing that the makeup of a family has completely shifted, and that now there is interest from, you know, BIPOC and LGBTQ folks to see themselves on their own journey towards parenthood, which is, again, why I think that the audiences sort of took to it in a way that I don't even think they expected. Mm-hmm. So.
Really, and it being an immersive production, I think also helps because it really does draw the audience into the stories much deeper than sitting in a, you know, proscenium theater and having that invisible wall separating you from the action. Because these are such intimate stories you're telling that I think having them be, you know, a fly on the wall, you know, observing all these stories makes a big difference in the impact. So is this possibly going to be the new licensable version? Is that maybe what's down the road for this?
We're hoping so. Let's put that out there.
Yeah. Well, it would make sense. I mean, especially because you had Richard Maltby working on this with you. Mm-hmm. I would think that, you know, in order to encourage, you know, new productions of Baby, this might actually be the script to be sent out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so. I think that that's the hope, that MTI will eventually license it. Mm-hmm. That's my shameless plug for that. But
plug away. Go ahead.
But I think it's important so that, you know, more high schools can do this story, and colleges mm-hmm. and all kinds of it's the changes are really, I think, essential to the piece. So, yeah, I'm hoping so.
Well, and as people will find out, because the cast recording We will be released on the 14th of February. So just a couple of days from when this episode starts to air. And you guys are doing a concert of the show at Green Room 42, which will be on Monday, February 13th. So that's exciting. How did that come together?
You go.
We really wanted to celebrate the album, and we wanted to get the cast back together. You know, they're all very busy performers with careers, and as committed as they were to this project, they've all moved on to other things. But you know, we wanted to we just wanted to sort of commemorate the moment and all come together to, rather than just, it feels so, the energy can feel so diffused when we've all moved on to our projects and everyone's, you know, people are posting on their socials, hey, I'm on this album, read this press release, look at this article. But for us to all come together, we had a rehearsal, just 2 days ago, and it was just so nice to all be in a room and be singing that music again. And, you know, seeing the things that were like riding a bike, and everybody just got back on and said, oh yeah, I remember how this went. And to get to then share that with an audience. And I think that, it's an opportunity for people who saw the show, this production of the show, to say, to remember what it was that was so special and unique about how we told this story. And for those that didn't get to see it, it gives them a little taste of really all of the changes that we did make and how different it does look and feel, and the energy surrounding that.
Through my life that I trace every day. Patterns, as I say the things I always say. Patterns in the ceiling as I lie awake. Why are patterns haunting every move I make? Just look. Here I am on cue again, upset, feeling torn in two again, afraid, saying I'm okay, making little jokes till I run away again. And yet today I feel my life slipping from its frame. Strange feelings rise, feelings with no name. And I can't face them, so I shake them hard. Fold them up and tuck them safely away. Again. Begin as I walk through a door. Patterns in the curtains and the kitchen floor. Patterns in the day's routines I must arrange. Patterns in the ways I try, but never change. Just look. As I'm thrown a curve again, I leap. Then I lose my nerve again. In tears, running home I go. Secretly relieved, safe with what I know. Or patterns through the day I seem to use to give my life a shape. Patterns through the house that give me comfort when I need escape. Patterns that lead me nowhere.
What is next for, okay, why don't we'll go to both of you. Liz, you can start. What's next now that, I mean, the show's been closed, the cast recording is now done, it mm-hmm. will be released, but what is next for Liz Fleming and what's next for Out of the Box?
I mean, we have a whole season at Out of the Box. For me personally, as an actor, I'm still doing stuff, auditioning. There's a reading with Deborah Monk that I'll be doing with Ethan. We'll be directing that. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. But for Out of the Box, we're going to continue doing site-specific work. We have a developmental off-Broadway production that we're doing called Millennials Are Killing Musicals, which is a new musical. uh-huh. And we have our New Works series that we will premiere this year, and a main stage that hasn't been announced yet. We're still working on that. But we're going to have our first full in-person season this year. Baby was the first in-person show we did in 2021, but this will be the first year where we do everything in person. So that's really exciting and scary a little bit, but also really exciting.
And Ethan, from what Liz just said, you will be directing Deborah Monk, which is thrilling in itself.
Yeah,
working with Deborah Monk.
It is. So in addition to being the associate artistic director at Out of the Box, I'm also the producing artistic director of a regional theater in New Hampshire called The Weather Vane. We commissioned a play from a playwright, Kelly Strandamo, called Primary, that is about sort of the unique dynamics of New Hampshire politics. And it's a very funny comedy. We did a reading of it last fall up at The Weather Vane, and we're doing sort of an industry reading at the end of the month with Deborah Monk heading the cast, which is really exciting. And that's in advance of us producing the world premiere in October, just in time for the actual New Hampshire primary. So it should be kind of a fun
That's very cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, just gearing up for both seasons at Out of the Box and Weather Vane and promoting the album. And, you know, it seems like our calendars and our to-do lists are always very full. So we're grateful for that.
That's always a good thing. Being busy in the world of theater is always a good thing. Yes. We always like to be busy. Well, congratulations on the album. It really is wonderful. As I said, I listened to it a couple weeks ago when they sent me a copy, and I just sat back and let it wash over me and went, you know, it's so fun to hear the score again. And it's so fun to hear new performers and hear new lyrics and just hear and see, just marvel at the wonders of Maltby and Shire working together and it's the score. And of course, then I, of course, had to jump online and look at pictures of your production so I could kind of get an idea of what it likes. And I love site-specific and immersive theater. And it's always tricky because it's got to be the right project to make it work.
Yes.
So, you know, congratulations on that. And I love the fact that because of what you guys do, it's also inclusive. And you're bringing, you know, performers on who, like you said, get overlooked often. And I think it's a great thing. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you will get plenty of positive feedback once the album is out. So let's remind everybody, the album comes out on February 14th. And if you are in New York City and you want to see the cast performing Baby, you can go to Green Room 42 and you can get tickets. I'll include a link here on the website so people can find Out of the Box. They can find where to get the album, which is on, I should mention, it's on Yellow Sound Label. We want to give them credit because that's who the label is. Terrific record label for capturing unique shows. And we'll direct people where they need to go to get everything, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Great.
That's much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
So this is
is the tale my mother told me. That tale that was much too dull to hold me. And this is the surge and the rush she said would show. Her story goes on. Oh, I was young. I forgot that things outlive me. My goal was the kick that life would give me. And now, like a joke, something moves to let me know. Our story goes on. And all these things I feel and more, my mother's mother felt and hers before. A chain of life begun. Child.